now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is a good friend, Meredith Swaim. Many of you are already familiar with her and her work, and we have a lot to discuss. We'll provide all of her biographical and website information on our dedicated YouTube channel and on our website, and I'll let Meredith give you all the details of her contact information at the end of this segment. So without any further ado, dear Meredith, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, James. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real treat to talk to you. I've been waiting for this for a while.
Me too. And, you know, whatever is on your mind, and you know, because we do a lot of cross talk every once in a while and just keep each other up to date on what's going on in our little corner of the multiverse. You know, what's on your mind? What's been going on that has kind of drawn your attention in the recent past?
Well, I think that what I'm noticing is a little bit of a narrative shift, at least in the States. I think that everybody is pretty much, I mean, maybe this is selection bias because this is what I'm running into in my life and, you know, based on my own frequency, my own energy, whatever, but I'm noticing that people are pretty much over it here, like over the division, over the mandates. And I think, you know, there's a strong group of people that are like, you know, very anti-mandate and very much like, you know, just like wanting to be more self-governing, I guess. And then there's people who are strongly wanting to be taken care of and supported by Big Daddy, you know. And there's a group in the middle that I think is like veering over to the, hey, wait a second, you know, even though it's kind of late in this, in the season, you know, but it's all right. You know, better late than never. But there's people that are in that sort of, you know, not sure which way to go. And I think that both extremes are kind of grabbing at those people. So I guess the US just decided that it was going to press the weather button and really, like, I anticipate more of that, more like weird weather type stuff. I showed you the snow that's outside right now, and I want to take a little bit of it and try to light it on fire to see what it smells like or see if it does anything weird, just because I feel like the snow is not the snow that I used to know. Like, it's just not. So that's just, it's, you know, it definitely feels like some kind of interregnum or a pause in the narrative, at least like from what I can tell, where people are kind of starting to emerge from their deep, deep slumber and are coming out of it. And I think that the powers that were are going to need something else to, you know, keep us in that same type of state.
Yeah, yes, the narrative is starting to run out of steam. And typically what they do and what they've done in the recent past is come up with a new variant, right? Or they like to keep everyone or as much of the people as they can on tenterhooks with this, that, or the other alleged foil terrorist plot, whatever the case may be. What's happening as far the supply chains over there? Because we're getting reports I've seen for myself, the shelves are starting to empty and it's starting to be a real issue. What are you seeing at your end?
I mean, okay, like I recently moved from a, you know, a bigger city in North Carolina to a small mountain town. I've noticed a little bit more shortage up here. So my guess is that regardless of like the engineered shortages in the city, at least on like coastal states like North Carolina or South Carolina or California or like, you know, I think that there's this like movement to kind of caused the food shortages more like in the rural areas. So I've noticed it a little bit more out here, even in the closest city. It's a little bit less like, I don't know, there was like absolutely no green vegetables at all when I went in one day to the Food Lion over here. And, you know, so I think that, you know, in a way it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, people like me or people who are kind of, you know, keeping their like finger on the pulse know that food systems and like mutual aid or like people kind of coming together to support each other with regard to unconventional ways of growing food. I've been kind of saving up for that, preparing and like have been looking at that. You know, the people that are in my sphere are doing the same thing both in Charlotte and closer to here. So it's like, you know, yes, I've been seeing that a little bit, not in the like dramatic way that I've seen on the internet. That hasn't really. And then there's always more stuff. Like they have to have like a backstore of like a lot of this stuff, you know. They don't want people to like freak out all at once. I feel like there's a lot of like lithium in our water more lately, or like I feel that there's like they're trying to keep us under like
sedation.
Obviously they're trying to keep us sedated and it's a new level, but I think they want us to, they both want us to freak out and they don't want us to freak out over the next month. I think they're like trying to stave off the uprising for the perfect time. Maybe that's my impression, but yeah, there, I haven't noticed any like really significant, although food prices are going up. I think that's happening everywhere, right? Is that happening where you are? The food shortages and food prices just skyrocketing?
Yes. The prices of many consumer goods are going up. Fuel, food, and certain items in the major supermarkets are rationed. You can only buy so many beef sausages, for example, packages of. You can only buy so many, you know, particular items, foodstuffs. So we're already seeing that. And you mentioned about the fake snow syndrome. We saw that several years back in Colorado and other places when they came up. I love how they come up with these new terms to like mesmerize the viewing public, right? Polar vortex is what they you know, tried to frighten us with last time. But we saw on these videos, people were actually not just applying big lighters, but they were applying actual blowtorches to this fake snow. It wouldn't melt. It gave off this weird plastic smell. And the reason I bring it up is because, you know, you raise that very real issue when the narrative starts to flag in certain places and, you know, with their echelon type search engine and keyword capability, they can easily find out what the sentiment is in particular regions and decide, okay, these people are not fluoridated enough or whatever. You know, let's apply some kind of a treatment. We just had another intentional directed energy, I don't want to call it firestorm, but yeah, firestorm. And I've seen the video of the aftermath where these homes were once again reduced to ashes, right? So I'm starting to wonder, and this is just me thinking out loud, the places that have been hit with the directed energy weapons and reduced to ashes, are those meant to be like, not only are those people, because they tend to hit places that are somewhat rural or on the outskirts or you know, away from the major population centers, like you pointed out, maybe they may be going after the homesteader types who are by nature more independent and more self-sufficient on the one hand, and perhaps on the other hand, maybe they might be creating corridors of movement to facilitate the movement or the transfer of you know, logistics of armies. Who knows? You know what I mean? What are your thoughts?
Right. I wonder. Well, you know, it's funny that you ask that because I've been wondering a lot about the energy of land and the significance of where they put certain buildings or certain places, or like, you know what I mean? I wonder about that because I just moved on to, I am literally like right on top of a ley line. It's funny, like I could not have planned it any better. And I was kind of pulled into this location in a sense. And, you know, I don't know if you can see it, but it's like a studio cabin. Like there's a river right there and there's a mountain right there. So I'm good. You know, I think that there's got to be some like ritualistic significance for where they choose, like the coordinates, or there's got to be some like gematria behind it, some kind of fucked up zeros and ones. And yeah, I think that it is trying to kind of like target those who are choosing maybe to go off of the grid or like choosing to have a more independent lifestyle. Like that's one of the things that kind of worries me about a place like Texas, because like there's a lot of people that are like, you know, freedom oriented and maybe like naturally like free market capitalists or whatever, and they're moving there, you know. And I'm just like, okay, I know that, you know, North Carolina isn't exactly ideal. We have like a blue fash governor who's like, you know, just so like beyond sold, right? Like to whatever it is, you know, this force. And, you know, I feel in a sense almost safer where I am, you know, because the blue states are getting, you know, I mean, there's positives and negatives with both, like, but I think that some of the red states and some of the, you know, some of the states that have made the loudest noise about the mandates, like, I don't know. I'm just watching that space and trying not to, because I don't want that to be the case, but that just seems like, you know, I never had like a concept of war, like wartime, like, oh, we're in wartime mode. You know, I never had a concept of that really before 2020. So, but now I'm kind of trying to look at things a little bit more strategically, like knowing your enemy or whatever. So, yeah. And that also kind of brings me into something else. Like I found your material in 2020, actually, when I had like a very like crude awakening to some different other things that I didn't really know how to interface with or associate with. And obviously like you seem to have a background in like military intelligence, and you know all of these different like nuts and bolts about that. And I've always been such a fucking hippie. Like I don't want any problems with anybody. Like I'm not very violent, but there's still something very compelling to me about listening to you talk about war. And it like almost brings back pieces of like myself from other lifetimes or whatever, like that, you know, kind of it, like where my, maybe there's an aspect of me that's still beating the war drum. I don't know, but just thought I'd point that out too.
Yes, I can see you standing in the shield wall in more than one incarnation. The point you made about, and they've been talking about this for a while now. I forget, excuse me, Joel Skousen, I think it is. I forget who it is that talked a lot about strategic relocation. And interesting how people find themselves in certain places in certain periods of their life, right? I know in my case, just the jobs and occupations I've had, I found myself in positions where I could see things from the ground level of what the medical, industrial, medical pharmacy environment looks like from the inside, from the telecom perspective, from the inside. So it's interesting how perhaps at an oversoul perspective, you know, we've been kind of planned out in a way, orchestrated to some degree where we would go, certain periods of our life in order to rekindle and reawaken these memories. Because I think a big part of this is remembering who we are and being able, perhaps not completely defining our mission here, but recognizing we do have a mission of some sort.
Yeah. I have been considering that a lot. The interplay between like our other aspects and here, because sometimes I feel like I have like a very direct type of communication with the entity that I am, you know. And I also, you know, it's easy for me and it's easy for everybody, I'm sure, to be like, well, they're doing it to me and they, and it's the shadow government or it's the pharma cartel or it's the lizard people or it's the AI machines, or, you know, it's like, it's so easy to, from this level, like to say that. But like in my experience that I have had this weekend, which I'd be happy to talk to you about in this medium, like I just realized like, how my soul is actually just really addicted to having human experiences. So if anything, I'm like enslaved to that instead of being enslaved on a prison planet, which sure, like there is that aspect of it from here. But I think there's aspects of us that defy all of this. And, you know, from that level, we're probably trying to figure it out. Like if we're in this, you know, semi-reptilian form, and we're still, you know, trying to, you know, fight the good fight and to, like, you know, have a heart-centered human experience, then certainly from that level, we're trying to figure it out. I wonder, sometimes I think I just try to really, like, white-knuckle it, you know, and I try to protect myself and protect my human and do the most that I can, and then I think like sometimes how futile, because from that perspective, like it's all kind of, it's always trickling down. I don't know if that makes any sense, but there's always, the best things in my life come to me when I'm not putting very much effort in a forcing or grasping type of sense. So I can definitely attest to the other dimensional aspects of us, and they're definitely doing some interesting stuff. It really connecting to that perspective, even just this weekend, makes me think that this is all like way more of a dream than it is even possible for us to fathom from here, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. If you'd like to elaborate on the interdimensional aspect of that, how it all ties in and whatever experiences or events transpired in the recent past that you just alluded to, I'm all ears.
Sure. I like to be as vague as possible. No, but so I am pretty sure, like 95% sure, and we've corresponded about this, so it's not going to come as a shock, but I'm pretty sure that I had a heart attack this weekend. the laughing is like such a millennial cope, you know, but it's like, that I'm not sure if it was stress or the solar flare. I mean, I think it could have been stress induced. There's a lot of people that I care about who are very much in all the, in the crossfires of all of this and like all of the possible different ways. And, you know, I think that maybe especially for women, it's very easy to get into the space of like wanting to be everything for everyone. And so for 18 months, just about, I was finding this person exemption and, you know, was speaking out every day all the time and like was also doing readings and doing my work. And so I think it just got to be too much, especially when I was having files deleted off of my laptop all the time there for a month. And I just had to kind of, I think it got to the point where like my heart itself was feeling a lot of pain and I had like pain shooting down my arm. And, you know, I would think like last year, the year before, like, no, I'm too young, but with the way that things are right now, with the way that the internet is pervading everything and everyone, I'll just say that, so that we can keep it like clean for the censors or whatever. I think that, you know, there's not such a thing as too young, you know, anymore for a heart attack, even if you're not like all the way wired into the internet. So yeah, that was really, it's interesting how sometimes we can walk through like a thunderstorm and be totally chill. And that's exactly where I went when I figured out what was happening. I just went into that chill. I was like, nope, nothing's stressing me out. Got to keep this center so I can figure out what the fuck I'm going to do or what's going on, you know? And, you know, but then I can get misted on and just be like crying my little baby tears, you know? So I think that there's definitely something about being in a crisis that brings out like those hidden reserves of strength. And so I guess Saturday, this past Saturday, is when I really felt those symptoms strongly. And I just chilled out all day Saturday, didn't do anything. Had a couple of dreams that are almost too abstract for me to even try to put into words. Just a lot of like very ethereal, purple, blue type hues, and really just kind of, it just felt like I was communing with myself. I don't know, beautiful colors and images and all of that stuff. And I was put in front of the right supports at the right time. The right people helped me through all of it. And I actually ended up bringing out like the candles and, you know, the incense and the old, like I basically did like a ritual, like in my bathtub, and have been taking hawthorn berry and have been fine. But there was such a direct and clear communication between me and my spirit during that time. Very much like that was an exit point for me that I could have chosen to, you know, because I've been like romanticizing death since I was like 11, because I'm a weirdo. And like, we just, you know, when I heard myself say, you know, you have about a week to decide what it is that you want to do, I was like, oh fuck, don't tell me that, you know, because like, I don't know if I necessarily need to be in charge of that choice.
Can I get an extension?
I was like, you know what? Like, I don't. I know, right? But it was very much a, you can turn this around. You don't need to go to the hospital. You don't need a doctor. You don't need anything. You just need to not stress, and you need to like chill the fuck out, and you need to put like a lot of your energy into healing your heart, like right now, you know, kind of hitting the ground running with that. So when I really let go and kind of was like, all right, well, I'm going to just completely, like, my human is going to take her hands off of the wheel for the time being, and we're just going to see like what happens. I had a practitioner of a type of body work that's technically a contraindication, but really, really helpful for me at the time. He was like, I'd love to give you a free session. I don't know why, but I feel like I should. And I was like, well, yes, I will take you up on that. So had a friend bring me a combination of herbs and stuff for my ritual on Wednesday. And it just felt like I was very supported through every single, and I floated through that until Thursday morning. I woke up and I had no chest pains, nothing was wrong. And it just gave me that maybe assurance that I needed, that my human is but a small part of me, and that there's a lot that happens when you are in that relationship with yourself on that level, even just asking yourself for help and, you know, communing with that is like a spirit guide almost. Or yeah. So.
Yeah. What I intuited from that was the, you know, the ritual with the fruit and getting the help from the individual with the body work, it helped to keep you embodied. It helped to, you know, pull you in completely. And then started healing the heart center, because I've seen it before. And this is not a criticism. This is just an observation with many people that have this empathic healing quality. Sometimes they're so immersed in helping others and giving and in parsing out, sometimes in large quantities, even their energies, their vital life force energies, it leaves them somewhat depleted. And in some cases, depending on who they work with, if they don't take the time to do it like a cleansing and afterwards and what have you, not only can they take on board some of the stuff, the attached entities even, from the people that they work with, but eventually, if they don't take enough time to re-energize and keep themselves in a grounded, heart-centered space, and I mean that from the perspective of like, it's not that they're not loving on others. It's sometimes they forget to love on themselves and do the self-work, if you will, to keep themselves protected.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is fissures and cracks begin to appear in the auric shield, and then, you know, stuff like this can potentially happen. So that was a very, very, I guess one could liken it to a dark night of the soul moment. But it speaks volumes of who you are, Meredith, that, you know, whereas some would have run off, you know, to urgent care or the, you know, hospitals to be protocol to death, right? You just literally
said,
okay, I'm just going to sort this out on my own. And you intuitively did what you had to do.
Yeah.
And also it speaks to a wider issue that, despite all the craziness that's going on around us, Barbara Bartholik used to always tell me, and she told E.B. Lorgan this too, that the reason we are in such emotional distress about what's going on in this world is because we don't come from this reality. We come from a much higher spiritual plane. And so when we take on human embodiment and take on this level of density and all that goes with it, yes, it's very troubling to us, right? It can, you know, not only can wear you down, but it can make you very embittered and very, you know, rage-filled. And that's one of the things that we have to remind ourselves that, you know, we're in our own sanctuary. We're in our own bubble. All this crap and insanity they're trying to foist on us, it's like water off a duck's back. And also that wartime mentality that you spoke of earlier. This is a cosmic game of espionage, counter-espionage, intelligence, counter-intelligence. We have to remind ourselves of that, you know, at any moment, you know, some mass cult Karen could come up and just try to ruin your day. And so it's the gray man syndrome where you just walk around basically, you know, out of phase with everyone else. So like the best motorists, you don't even notice them, right? And so in this kind of, you know, in some places rapidly turning into hostile zones, we have to remind ourselves of that yes, we can create a sanctuary bubble for ourselves, but always mindful of the nature of the environment, just like an animal in the wild, right? So it's getting down to brass tacks, basically.
Right. Totally. Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that you brought up there. There's a couple of things, right? Like, obviously, like in wartime or whatever it is, we still don't want to maybe like internalize the, gosh, I mean, it's really hard to not internalize the fact that like this maybe artificial force that some consider to be alien, some consider to be artificial intelligence, some consider to be alien artificial intelligence. You know, it's like this, it's hard not to feel like attacked or like put upon, and like that entity or that energy does not want you here, you know? But that's where all the inner work I think that we've done comes in, that says like, no, I deserve to exist where I am. Like, I deserve to be here. And there's something with that you said also, where like, I'm a straight up like sponge. Like, I can protect and put up walls and I can do this and I can do this. But like, I'm basically like, I interact with people that I'm speaking with and I feel them. And like, there's an aspect of me that I don't want to grow hard, you know, in this, like, because I know that especially as a woman, that's what's really wanted for me, is to go all hard and to be really extremely masculine and like really like controlling, and you know, and that's not actually like my sweet spot in any way, shape, or form. I think everybody needs something different to balance them out.
Just take a look at fourth wave feminism or whatever it's called these days. It's how embittered and you know how their hearts have grown everything. All encrusted, right?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So you had to go and bring up fourth wave feminism, James. No, but I feel that. So I'm 30, you know, and I'm single and I'm straight, you know, nothing wrong to what anyone else wants you to do. That's fine. Like do your thing, but I'm looking for something a little bit more traditional. So in that, you know, context or that scape, I definitely resent the fuck out of fourth wave feminism, because what the fuck, like, where are all the protectors? Oh, nowhere to be found. All these like fucking like completely like soyed out, like passive, languid, flaccid fucking dudes. Like, I am not with that. And I think that that is a creation of, not to say that you can't be balanced. I mean, there is such a thing as toxic masculinity in the other direction, but like, I'm just so not into that. Not into that at all.
Well, I just read an article, and I was already aware of this, but I'm glad it was, you know, put in the easily digestible form in an article. And it talked about studies, and I tend to give some credence to these particular studies we're about to talk about. Recent studies have shown that especially, of course, college-age women or women in college, they tend to have more of an authoritarian streak than males. They tend to favor things like multiculturalism and all that whole lefty socialism, climate change stuff.
The sort of agenda 2030.
Exactly.
Yeah.
you know, critical race theory, et cetera, et cetera. They tend to favor that even at the expense of free speech and liberty and freedom. Whereas most males, they tend to err on the side of, well, why not, of freedom and freedom of speech. So it shows yet again what's been done to the divine feminine. And I was just talking about this yesterday with Evie Lorgan. Evie and I had much disrupted, interfered with attempted podcast.
No.
Hopefully there's enough salvageable in it to, you know, be worthwhile putting out. But I made the point that there was a time when, and it wasn't too long ago, the divine feminine principle was the backbone. It was the backstop in union with the divine masculine.
Right.
It was the divine feminine that held the society together, whether it was a tribe, a clan, or a confederation of clans, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You know, during, in the midst of, and after the wars, after the famines, after the plagues, it was the women who held society together, right? And also, you know, when it came to wartime, it was said that the American Civil War lasted longer than it should have, for no other reason that the Confederate women kept goading the Confederate men to keep fighting, even though it was a hopeless cause. You know, certainly by 1863, it was pretty much hopeless by then. And you look back to ancient Sparta, where, you know, when the men would go off to war, the wives would always say, you either come back with your sword or be carried on it, right? Like your dead body. Brought back not on your sword. You either come back with your shield or you're carried back on your shield, right? And what they meant by that was
you win or you lose.
You fight and you die like a man. You're protecting our way of life. But now it's this completely bass ackwards opposite of that. They have like what they call gender disappointment, where like a man-hating woman falls pregnant, and then, oh, woe is me, she finds out that her baby's going to be a boy, right? And then, I mean, publicly, some of these crazed You know, entities are saying that all male babies should be aborted at birth on top of all the abortion that's going on anyway. So, you know, to hear that, you know, coming from you and that, you know, this whole fourth wave feminist movement, yes, people need to take a look at that as an absolute pillar of this whole Luciferian system. And you also mentioned the importance of maintaining a heart center, because it's easy looking around to get embittered and then allow, even subconsciously, this you know, bitterness to become encrusted over your heart, where you tend to be, or one tends to be.
If I have to do everything myself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, where one becomes embittered about everything, embittered about the people who won't wake up, embittered about the people who don't see things exactly as you do. Instead of just staying in that serenity bubble, right, they allow all these external stimuli to really you know, chip away at their heart center.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think about the fourth wave feminism thing, and then I think about like how many men that I know in my personal social circles who were like hashtag me too, I'm so sorry that men exist, ladies, you know, like when that whole me too scapegoating thing was going on. And I thought it was amazing at the time, because you talk about those college women who project all their hatred onto men, and like I did that. So I can technically say that like I've come out of it. If I can do it, you know, other people can too. But I think I was just saying
I'm a recovering
how,
Republican, so I know how you feel.
Oh. Yeah, but I think, you know, when you fuck with one gender, you fuck with another. And I think like on an internal level, we're so like crisscrossed, and that nobody should be trying. I mean, this is just my opinion. It comes from no place other than my own mind. Like, I think that we should definitely like try to not like identify with quite anything until we fully understand it and like are able to wrap like the fullest extent of our mind around it, you know. Like, so a lot of people who you know, and I have friends that are like non-binary and trans, and you know, it, there's a wide variety of like levels of health and like quality of life and stuff like that within that. I just think that we don't know enough about much of anything. So to like put that on like a child when they don't have any time to kind of acclimate to their soul and their body, and like to not have enough time to like register. It's like we all have inner work to do with regard to gender. Like, gender is not just, there's gender in everything, you know. There's gender in this, you know, table, and there's gender in the snow, and everything has like a masculine and a feminine principle, unless that balance is thrown off, which I would say like we're just about there. I think the reason that I brought up Me Too, I kind of got off on a tangent there, sorry. When I was talking about that, I was remembering how like in April of last year, I started to notice that all of my friends, except for me, which was very weird, you know, that I didn't come into this type of symptom. But all of my friends were having terrible periods. Like, and this was people who took the thing or people who didn't, you know. I can't get stressed. So I'm like, woosah, you know, because the level of hypocrisy that I observe in the, like, okay, I started talking about it, and some dudes are like, fact check, this is not happening, or fact check, this has nothing to do with this, you know. I'm like, oh, but you could scroll back a few years and see this like very performative like letter to all women about how like you deserve better, we should be better, and you know, it's like, fuck off, Toby, or whatever, you know. Just whoever. But yeah,
well, there's a psychology behind that. Mm-hmm. Because you know, despite some women perhaps identifying with the consciously or subconsciously with the fourth wave feminine tsunami, right? there is still an element of them, the shame-based element, the acquiescing element to a domineering male authority figure, even if it's some faceless nobody,
right.
You know, sock puppet troll bot on Facebook. The fact that it's a male, because of whatever psychological, childhood, sexual, physical abuse, or, you know, unfortunately, they may have been, you know, abused in some manner well into adulthood. There's that part of them that cringes when confronted with a sudden presumed male authority figure. And the idea behind that is when those trolls kind of like float up like that, is to stifle and dead end the conversation, quite frankly. And you know, they're quite good at it. To this day, I wonder why so many of these women who, I guess one, I don't even like to use the term activist, because if someone wants to have clean drinking water, they shouldn't be labeled an activist because they want clean drinking water, for example, right? But for our purposes here,
right,
you know, women, truthers, activists, whatever the case may be, sometimes they let these male naysayers, fact checkers, so-called, just run amok, or, you know, run ramshod on their friends list and allow these discussions, meaningful discussions at times, to be shut down. And it's part of that shame-based, unhealed background where they just don't draw a line and say, F you, you're out of here, right? It's my friends list. It's my news feed. I'll say what I bloody well want. But because they're coming from the shame-based, abused, you know, psyche, they still can't draw the line and say, no, I'm not taking any of your narcissistic abuse.
Yeah, definitely. That's a whole thing. That what you said right there about, you know, I, like I said, I came into this late, not necessarily a lot of the recognition of entities or experiencing hauntings or interesting dreams or paranormal experiences. I just hadn't put like the bigger picture piece together. And I, you know, not that any of us have like the ultimate bigger picture piece, but I just was living in my own life, you know, up until then, and then kind of saw this like threat on the horizon. And I was like, hey, fuck you, you know, I don't like that. No, thank you, you know. But in joining that sort of like trutheryism, like I don't really like the idea of like calling myself a truther or whatever. I just think I don't like labels, but I have noticed how a couple of psychological dynamics within that very space, how a lot of dudes do not like a person that looks like me, that sounds like me, saying what I'm saying. I have noticed I have been shut down far more by dudes than women. You know, in 2020 and like the early part of 2021, especially, everybody's shutting up now. They know that we're right and they're wrong. You know, it's like, but there's much less like backlash as there used to be, because I think it's kind of pointless to get into it, to try to debate one of us at this point, you know. But I did notice within myself that I had a challenge in setting a boundary with a couple of these dudes that would always just crop up. Now, change can happen in an instant, James. And now I'm just like, block, fuck you, block, fuck you, block. You don't exist in my reality. Like, you know. No.
Well, they fit a psychological profile, these males that are like that. The quite frankly, it's reptilian in nature. The harsh misogyny, which in Extremis we saw with the witch hunts, which lasted for centuries. There were some villages and even small medieval cities in Germany that were denuded of women, females, women and female children, gone, all killed, all burned at the stake, hung, because that harsh reptilian female hating, and that's that weird dichotomy at work where they seem to have imbued that mentality, that mindset, that rage against women into a significant population demographic of women themselves, right? To the point where one moment, a gal is, you know, pretty and dressed nice and desirable, and then she gets in with the wrong crowd. Next thing you know, her hair is chopped. It's three different colors. She's got, you know, all kinds. And I'm not making a value judgment on piercings and facial tattoos and what have you, right? But I'm saying that her, at the very least, her outward appearance just radically changes overnight, along with the mentality that goes with it. To being, you know, soft and you know, nurturing and to this extreme harshness. And so when these male bots, and many of them are empty vessels that have essentially been replaced and are entity infested, when they rise up like that, and you know, it just drives them into a mouth-foaming rage that a woman can have opinions and be forthright and speak up for herself. It is a metaphor for exactly what's wrong with this planet, this harsh reptilian Draco mentality, which we're seeing manifested all around the planet with these harsh measures and edicts being rolled out. Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with Meredith Swaim, and we're just getting started. We're going to really touch some key issues in the member segment. But Meredith, could you let our listeners and viewers know how they could – I should have added, Meredith is in her own right a very good astrologer, among other things. So please let the people know how they can contact you and how they can find your work online.
Sure. So I have a couple of places that I put my stuff on the internet. My website is meredithsluckystars.net, and I have a Substack as well. That's where I put all of my astrology content. I just made that decision that I was going to do that. So it's virgovenuspiscesmoon.substack.com, and I'll give all of that to James. So it'll just be right there.
And if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.